Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's up? Good to be here. Two very different approaches to the guest fill-in vibe from the guys working on the show. Executive producer of the program, Thomas Count Dracula DiBenedetto, and Garrett Oldman right over here. Tom, who I know, maybe this is part of the reason. Tom and I work together on my show, Ryder Than You, in the mornings here on CBS Sports Radio, just before Jim's show, for a long time, and when I did evenings for a long time. And he showed up. If you're watching CBS Sports Network, you'll see the control room at some point. A nice little shirt. I think he has slacks on, right? A little haircut. Looking good. Rit rolled in a stained chopping broccoli t-shirt. It's Rick and Morty green. If you watch Rick and Morty, the little portal Rick goes through, it's chopping broccoli. Nothing but respect. It's all Rit, you look good, buddy. Sports writer on Twitter, if you want to hit me up, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, 1-800-636-8686. I honestly, when you showed up, thought you were going to change. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like a New York move. You commute in one outfit because it's, you know, it's balmy out there. You're on the train, and then you move into the other shirt. Chopping broccoli. I mean, that's a very random thing to be chopping. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I find it extremely amusing. Yeah, get into those drops. Oh, if it was dropping broccoli, it would have made a lot more sense. Okay, you can let it. You do you, buddy. It's your show. I'm just filling in. It is a pleasure to be here. Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, will join me in about 30 or 40 minutes. Mark Medina, national NBA guy for USA Today, an hour and a half. And Rob Dibble, my buddy, former big leaguer, will talk some baseball with us in the final hour of the show. Joe Judge is all mad. Man, Joe Judge is a very angry, angry man. And I can't tell if that's his personality or he woke up one day and realized he's the head coach of the New York Giants and it just got under his skin. We'll get into his approach with his guys. Last week, he was fighting Kelvin Benjamin. This week, he's fighting his entire football team. We'll talk some Dodgers. Dodgers-Astros, two-game series, a lot of animosity packed into that, and some consequences potentially for the World Series as the Dodgers start to fall a little bit, lost last night to Houston, behind the Giants. Max Scherzer goes to the mound tonight. After that mega trade, we'll hit that. Colts have a quarterback dilemma, and don't worry, Philip Rivers has announced two things simultaneously. He's a head coach for a high school team somewhere in Alabama. A, he is committed to a non-playing dad bod. And B, that will not stop him from spreading his mediocrity across the NFL if somebody's interested.
That's horse mess.
Yeah, it is. How many kids does Philip Rivers have at this point? Seven? I mean, I think at that point you're required to have. I only have two. And I'm 43. I've had a dad bod for 13 years. So I'm not even judging. And we'll hit a lot of NBA. We'll try to make sense of some nine kids.
Unstinking believable.
Yeah, Manil, good for you. Just keep the earth populated. I did see something the other day. Like, there's not enough bad news in the universe to make you worried. Some researcher was under the impression, did some highfalutin science stuff, that one of the 331 legitimate threats to humankind now is a population decline. Just a sudden pop. Philip Rivers is not going to allow that to happen, and I respect the hell out of it. Seven daughters, two sons.
Told ya.
That's a lot of stress. Seven daughters? To be fair, I think Philip Rivers probably can scare the holy hell of whatever young male suitors come by the house. For real. See my dad bod? See my anger? See my two sons? See my six other daughters? Watch yourself.
Oh, quit crying!
Watch yourself.
Quit crying!
All right, let's hit some NBA. I want to make sense of some of the moves around the association. The Knicks, a little breaking news. Kemba Walker is going to get a buyout from the Thunder. He's going to join the New York Knicks. It's an interesting move. We'll talk about it. Oh, my God. It's going to be a drop. I can take a lot of things. Garrett Ritt doing the lasso dance behind the glass is probably a step too far. Now you do you. We'll talk the Chicago Bulls. I think in an hour, I want to dive into this. The Bulls have gone all in. Massive moves. But we'll start with the Lakers. The defending champs from the year before that, featuring LeBron James, the odds-on favorites as of yesterday to win an NBA championship. And they've made a lot of moves in the last 24 hours, GM Rob Pelinka. There's two ways to look at this. And I have a new producer over on my show, Tom DeCelestino, because DeBenedetto, yeah, they have basically the same name. DeBenedetto is here now as the executive producer of the Jim Rome Show. And DeCel, and I never would have guessed this because he's got a very Eeyore countenance about him sometimes, is all about the positivity. Every day that I come on my show, he says, let's be positive. Let's find positivity. So I'm going to start with the positive view of the Lakers. Then I'm going to, of their moves. Then I'm going to get to the actual view of the Lakers. But let's lean into a little Wednesday positivity. Chopping broccoli with Ritt over here.
Stop for greatness out here, cuz.
You drop as many drops as you need. Trainwreck Thursday on a Wednesday. Let's go. Jim's gone. You get to do whatever the hell you want. You know it. You wore the shirt that says it. You lean into it, old man. I love everything about it.
It's Tuesday somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. That one doesn't even make sense, but that's okay. It doesn't have to make sense.
Taco Tuesday.
It's going to be really interesting trying to talk over the drops, but I'm a pro. I can do it. It's like, did you watch the Olympics? One of the hurdlers just like bit it on the first hurdle on the far right side the other day. To be fair, I can trip over hurdles in this show when there's no drops. So, you know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was right. Kind of on brand. Starting five of Westbrook, Wayne Ellington, LeBron, AD, I guess Dwight Howard. This is the positive part. I love the addition of Malik Monk. And they got him at a discount. Let's start with that. I love the addition of Kendrick Nunn for the Lakers. Got him at a discount. Rob Pelinka convinced a lot of guys to take well below market value, including guys that can shoot. Four of the five free agents they brought in, of their last five, shot the three-point shot last year at 38% or better. Wayne Ellington, 42% three-point shooter. You have to space the floor with LeBron. You have to. You have to. Malik Monk, 40%. Malik Monk's a nice, sneaky little player. Moved on from Charlotte. Could have made some money. Would have been a fly for someone else. Took less to come here to L.A. and chase a championship. I think it's a great move. Nunn, 38%. Melo, 40%. And you've got this collection of guys, and a lot of them will have to take fewer minutes in Los Angeles, who have done what you do if you care about basketball in the way that fans certainly want to be cared about. They put money second or third. They put minutes second or third. They put their ego second or third. And they came to L.A. to chase a championship. That's a reality. You're in a locker room with LeBron. You are number three on the alpha list at best. LeBron is one. LeBron's ego is number two. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that. And I've covered the guy, been around the guy, know the guy to a degree, to whatever degree people know somebody like that when you're not in the inner circle. He sucks all the oxygen out of the room on accident before he does it on purpose. So you do. You have to subjugate yourself a little bit and what you want. There aren't going to be as many minutes to go around for these guys. And they took less money. And I think that bodes really well as we get into the positive aspects of this team. LeBron is still the second or third or first best player on earth. I know all the notions about Kevin Durant. LeBron is still 27-8-8. And a guy that can make everyone around him better. And that's basically all of the positivity that I can muster. Now I have to get into reality. No, I'll say this. I understand that there's a business aspect to the NBA and to sports. I understand that one of the arguments supporting Chris Paul's contract, 4 years, $120-some million, is the notion that in Phoenix, and I think it makes them a championship contender for the next 2 years, maybe more, but there's a notion that having a superstar like Chris Paul sells jerseys, sells out luxury suites, brings in fans. It's a business. It's a business. Those of you like me that enjoy international soccer, if you're a Barcelona fan, there's some anxiety about Lionel Messi. Hasn't been registered as a player. They're hoping they can do it. They need him on the field. They need him for business purposes, right? You got to sell sponsorships. Maybe the Lakers have a massive agreement coming out with the AARP very soon. Maybe they are trying to tap into that octogenarian, time for a walker, Bill Ryder age, my back's going out because I sort of like gave my kid a high five, I'm an old man, group of fans. If you're a 50 or 60 or an 80 or 90-year-old and you want to relate to the teams you root for, the Lakers are your squad. Listen to the ages of these guys. Westbrook will be 33 at the start of the season, but let's be honest, he has the athletic ability now of a 39-year-old. Wayne Ellington, 33. LeBron, 36. Dwight's going to be 36. I think it's in December. Trevor Ariza, 36. Marcus All, 36. This Lakers team is an all-star studded, can't be stopped, all-NBA force of nature from 2013. This is classic LeBron, and I can't take credit for it. Tom, I really want to call you Count Chocula, but I feel so mean every time. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to give myself three for the rest of the show. That's it. I'm not doing it anymore. He's Tom DiBenedetto.
Count Chocula.
But I can't stop Rit from dropping that 131 times. Tom said this. It is, this Lakers team is exactly what I think a lot of us envisioned when LeBron came to L.A. Handpicked buddies, old dudes past their prime, LeBron's making movies, and trying to do a bunch of side hustles. If I were going to construct a team, check that. If I were going to make a list of the three most talented players during my time covering the NBA, full time for me goes back to 2010, who are talented, who win the press conference, who are Hall of Famers, almost certainly they are Hall of Famers, even though I wouldn't put one of them in, and who have made massive amounts of money, who at every stop, and this is when they were really good, were never going to be NBA champions, whose games never translated, who clog up the floor, who in some cases, and I don't mean one of these guys, in some cases are locker room cancers. Here are the three big stars of the NBA of this generation who will make sure you have hope and your soul slowly gets sucked from your chest and destroyed in front of your eyes over the course of a season because they can't win it all. I would, probably in this order, go Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, and I hate it because I love this guy, Russell Westbrook. Don't move the ball, Carmelo Anthony. Won't change his approach for his team, Carmelo Anthony. Will shoot you out of games after he shoots you sort of into him in the second quarter where it didn't matter, Carmelo Anthony. Total knucklehead, walking foul, can't get out of his own way, Dwight Howard. Literally can't shoot the basketball in an era where big men have to shoot the rock, Dwight Howard. A guy, and this is a true story, who, if I can take you back to that last Super Lakers team when Steve Nash was a part of that squad and Meta World Peace, whatever the hell that guy's name is, I always get it wrong, the late, great Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard. Steve Nash was out. Steve Nash was injured. The Lakers were underperforming. Everyone thought when Nash came back, it would be great. They'd be off and running. I'm at that game. It's at Oracle. It's before the Warriors as we know them today. And if memory serves, the Lakers win in overtime. Steve Nash is a big part of it. In that locker room, even Kobe Bryant, this is November, December, early, feeling it, partying, great atmosphere, other than Dwight Howard, who mumbled answers and wouldn't talk and was super put out because he wasn't the star. Clubhouse, locker room, team-killing cancer. And there's Russell Westbrook, the most talented of the three in 2021, a walking statistical machine, and someone who, at times, makes Ben Simmons look like Ray Allen. I mean, not really, but it kind of feels like it. The only thing worse, if we're being honest, the only thing worse than Ben Simmons not shooting is Ben Simmons shooting. And there's an argument that what that looks like is Russell Westbrook, who's a 27% three-point shooter, but there are seasons and times where it's 17 or 18%. He is not able to space. Think about the spacing on the floor. I understand that when Monk's on the floor, when Nunn's on the floor, Ellington's going to start. You've got some guys who can hit some shots. Russell Westbrook needs the ball in his hands. Anthony Davis is going to have a pretty high usage rate. LeBron has a massive usage rate, so to be fair, he distributes. And I haven't even gotten to the defense. The Lakers last year barely made a seven-game series, were knocked out by the Suns, had a ton of injuries. We're still worried about father time with LeBron James, and should be. Anthony Davis has played very few full seasons in his career. Healthy. He can't stay healthy. He is remarkably fragile. And for the Lakers to live up to their expectations, he's not on that Pelicans team anymore, where all you got to do is play 82 games, and you're probably done with your season. Just, if you can just make it, you have to play all the way through this regular season if you're AD healthy, and then two more months of basketball. Remember, the only time that Anthony Davis has played extended minutes in the postseason, ever, he had a massive break because of COVID. He has never in a normal season been able to stay healthy. And the one thing that the Lakers could fall back on last year, with a roster that was underwhelming, but I think markedly better, or certainly less problematic in terms of landmines than this one, was their defense. Top defensive team in the NBA. Had some real dogs who get out there and hustle. This is a bad defensive basketball team. I understand the arguments in Lakers land. Stuart Kovacs, who's an associate producer of the show and is in New York City, is a rabid Lakers fan. He's a guy that's lived his whole life in Brooklyn, has never been to L.A. It's an absolutely natural fit. And I understand that he and some of my other friends who are Lakers fans, and frankly some officials in that Lakers organization who have tried to talk me into why this works, will make the case that LeBron's still LeBron, you have AD, Westbrook's a superstar who puts up numbers, he's going to win games in the regular season. Look what we did with Ellington, with Monk, with Nunn. Those guys can shoot the three, 40% or better, they'll space the floor. I get all that. They're old. They're injury prone. They have so-called superstars and future Hall of Famers who cannot and have not won in the postseason, and they're not going to be able to play defense. That sounds a lot like a 4 or 5 seed that loses in the first round to some upstart. Not buying the Lakers. Don't bet your money on the Lakers to win an NBA championship. Vegas is wrong. And not just wrong. LA is a short flight and a pretty short drive from Los Angeles. All that LA money that goes into the sports books in Vegas, it changes the odds. I know that we look at odds and they give us a real sense, right? It's a watermark for where we think things are. Not with LA. The odds, the likelihood's always smaller because of the money that rolls in. This is why LeBron James, and I think he's probably the greatest player in the history of the game. He's certainly, at a minimum, the second best player in the history of the game, is also one of the worst GMs we've ever seen. Now, I'll say this about Rob Pelinka. He did what David Griffin couldn't do. LeBron got his moves in, right? Westbrook is LeBron. Melo is LeBron. Guys like Gasol and Dwight Howard are LeBron. If they're 36, sort of mediocre, look good on paper, but don't fit, that's a LeBron James move. Now, give Pelinka credit. Having been dealt this terrible hand, he went out and he got Malik Monk. He got Wayne Ellington. He got Kendrick Nunn. I was prepared to come on the Jim Rome show, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim, and just crush Pelinka. But it's not Pelinka. Pelinka's doing the same thing with LeBron he had to do with Magic Johnson. Turns out Pelinka's a really good GM who's not actually in charge. So here's the final conclusion. The Lakers, relative to championship expectations, are going to suck this year. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Hanging out with Tom DiBenedetto and the old man with the chopping broccoli. I'm waiting for a drop, or it's like watching a YouTube show or something. I don't know what's going on. Joe Judge and the Giants. Why are y'all mad? There. Oh, that's why you're on YouTube. I didn't even know you were on YouTube. I was lying to the audience, but you really were. Well done, sir. Well done. All right, we'll get into the Giants drama and what it says about this hapless organization next here on the Jim Rome Show. Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program. Thanks for hanging out. 1-800-636-8686. It is that time again. Get on there. Get your keyboard. Get your email. It's time to ask the pros. Where you, the clones, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. My wife, Lori, is watching the show. And she's watching on CBS Sports Network. And she sent me a note that said, and I apologize, Tom, this is on Lori, not me. Count Chocula, ha 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 ha, with a screen grab of a Count Chocula. What are these things? Like these pop up, these like bobblehead giant anime things? I don't know. My kids have 500 of them. I should know what they're called. I don't. What I do know, Tom, is that your Christmas present has already been picked out. I'm sorry to ruin the surprise. And what's amazing about it is that it does look a little, there's a little bit of just a similar thing. Although to be fair, I look like some people that I don't even want to bring up on the air. We all have some of those resemblances. All right, 1-800-636. Funko. Yeah, those Funko things. Funko, there it is. I should know. I own 431 of them. My children have a lot. Let's go out to Toronto. Billy's on the line. Billy, appreciate you as always, brother. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
How you doing, Bill?
What's up?
Hey, Bill, listen, I just wanted to reiterate what you were saying about Russell Westbrook. I mean, you know, I think too many times these scores get too much credit. Now, I'll go with our boy here in Toronto, Kyle Lowry. I mean, we've lost him to Miami, and they want to build a statue of this guy and name him prime minister, and I really don't get it. I mean, we won a championship for two reasons. One, because we had Kawhi Leonard, and two, because the Golden State Warriors were hurt badly with injuries. Another guy, if he was so important to this franchise, you know, why didn't we re-sign him? He's only 35, but we let him walk, and I think we've been trying to get rid of him for a long time. So,
his point guards that shoot a lot, I'm not crazy about
that. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I mean, I love Billy, but it does make me laugh when people get run. I really, really enjoy it. I'm not going to do this because I fill in. Several times, I listen to the show all the time. I'm a clone when I'm not filling in. And I've almost called in several times just because I think it would be a sort of a bucket list thing just to get run. Right? When I was in high school, I had to make a list of all the things that I wanted, like a bucket list. Thank you, Mr. Killian, I think his name was. Write a novel. Didn't do that. Sail the whole Mississippi. Well, that's what happens when you grow up in Dubuque, Iowa. That's kind of the big body of water. What wasn't on there but should have been, because I was listening back then, is Get Run by Jim Rome. Yeah, that was, but I agree with your take. And by the way, look, I'm not going to hate on Kyle Lowry. I think it's a great addition for the Heat. I think it makes him a top four team in an Eastern Conference that, to me, and will hit the Bulls in 30 minutes, is improving. And you would imagine gets markedly better with the confidence Milwaukee feels, having won an NBA championship, whatever moves Philly makes, there will be some. And you would think, I'm not as certain on this, but the conventional wisdom is the Brooklyn Nets will be healthier. I like the move for Miami because Kyle Lowry can be the second best player on a championship team. He can't be the guy. You're right. I'm not a big fan of, if you're going to build a statue for someone, it needs to be for Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. Someone that played all or most of their career in a single place and brought that kind of glory. Nobody in Toronto has done that. If anyone for the Raptors deserves a statue, it's Kawhi Leonard. And I don't think you can give one out after 1 year because that's not just a monument to Kawhi's greatness. It's a monument to your own inability to foster and retain great players. Yeah. Now, Kyle Lowry is Prime Minister of Canada? Don't know. He's from Philly. Not really sure what the laws are in Canada. Don't think that works. I was going to talk a lot about Joe Judge and the Giants. I guess I ran out of time. Here's the gist of it. We'll circle back to it. I understand that in the NFL and training camp, tempers are going to run hot. Guys are going to go after each other. There's going to be some fights and some anger. If you missed it, Evan Engram, the tight end for the Giants, stood up for, I think it was Corey Clement, who got hit in a late tackle by Logan Ryan, and a melee ensued. And Daniel Jones got into it, which, not a great idea for have your quarterback in the middle of a melee at practice. Not funny. Can't make the point that I'm about to make if he breaks his hand or hurts himself. But man, it's nice to see Daniel Jones have some guts and some moxie. And in a vacuum, any NFL team getting into it, offensive and defensive guys going after each other, is not necessarily a big deal. Problem is, Joe Judge has seemed to me over his head for a while, year two. And he's got this, I'm in charge, I'm a dictator, my way or the highway approach. That never works if you don't have respect of the players and the veterans. Logan Ryan is a leader on that team. And, well, last week, not that Kelvin Benjamin's some superstar now. When you're trying to convert from wide receiver to tight end, your career is probably behind you. But he's still a veteran. He's still had a relationship, has a relationship with the GM of the Giants who brought him in for a tryout. And last week, Joe Judge is swearing at this guy to the point where the guy gets cut because of his reaction. And this week, there's a melee. Not a great situation. We'll circle back on this with Jason Lockenfora. JLC, by the way, CBS Sports NFL insider, has been to both Ravens and Bills training camp. He's hitting Bengals and Browns over the next week. A lot of interesting stuff going on. Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced because of he's on the COVID restricted list. Put some anti-vaccination nonsense, on his social media and is looking for a major deal. We'll get JLC's take on that, a guess on what Joe Burrow's going to look like this upcoming season. We'll talk all things around the NFL with my guy JLC here on the Jim Rome Show. Yeah, after we get a CBS Sports Radio update with the remarkably talented and close friend of mine. Not going to rank it because he got me.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you, as you heard, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. NFL training camps are underway. Injuries have begun. The season is bearing down. And that means it's time for the best NFL insider in the country. We are lucky to have him here at CBS Sports. CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. You name it, he's a part of it. Jason Lockenfora here on the show now. JLC, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, it's that time of year, making my rounds. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you're in training camp mode, and you sent me this text earlier. Thank you. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Buffalo so far, Browns and Bengals this week. Let's start in Baltimore. Curious what the vibe is like, given a pretty bizarre situation right now with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, definitely unusual. I live here, and I do 4 hours of radio here every day. So, people are definitely scratching their heads a little bit about all things Lamar. Obviously, he's got to miss 10 days at least because he's not vaccinated and he did test positive. They're trying to alter and change and have this passing game evolve, and they're doing it with new coaches, and they're doing it with new schematics and new points of emphasis and new strategies and new personnel, including a new center, because snapping the ball was a real problem around here last year. And Lamar's not involved in any of that, and it's nice to get reps for your backups here or there, but I've been out there 3 times in a week, and I've seen enough Trace McSorley, and I got to think the coaches have probably seen enough of Trace McSorley running with the ones, and it's just far from optimal. And, you know, he also put a anti-vax propaganda, crazy conspiracy theory stuff on his social media while in the midst of this COVID situation with the team and trying to negotiate a $40 million a year extension. Yeah, it's been an interesting week around here.
Jason, I would love not to ask about COVID. I would love to live in a world where everybody, if they're supposed to wear masks, wears masks and gets vaccines, but that's not the planet we inhabit. How significant do you think the story is going to be and the impact on games and teams it's going to be that you do have some players who won't and don't get vaccinated, and you do have some coaches who are starting to talk pretty candidly about, I don't know what to do, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Look, it's woven into the fabric of our lives, and it's going to be woven into the fabric of this season. To what degree? I hope quite limited, but we know what the rules are, and we know how close contacts are determined, and there's a reason a guy like Mike Zimmer's freaking out, because he knows, especially a position group like quarterback, where you don't have 10 of them like offensive linemen, you know, right now on a 90-man roster, it's real easy for you to be caught with your pants down and have a bunch of guys who, even if they haven't tested positive, they're unvaxxed and they're close contacts, and guess what? They're all going to miss your next game. Could that happen somewhere this season? How could you say it's not? Like, how could you say it's impossible? It's already happening. Now, will that lead to more guys getting the shot and closing some of the loopholes? I guess the league says the numbers are trickling up, but the fact that, you know, the Vikings are, 64% or something like that? Yeah, Mike Zimmer's losing sleep over that.
Jason Lockenfora here on the Jim Rome Show. Jason, what do you expect? What is the expectation that you've heard from what you think we'll see from Joe Burrow and that football team this season?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see much of him till the regular season. I mean, unless you're out there for a practice. Mike Brown came out, the owner, pretty strong at the beginning of camp and basically said, we don't need to see Joe Burrow play a game unless that game, you know, affects the standings. I just don't know that even giving him a series or two, especially given the early returns on that offensive line, it's really, you know what I mean, going to be worth it. Now, my sort of thing about Joe Burrow is there's a mental component to these kinds of injuries, and what he endured was, say, more significant than Tom Brady's. When he had the ACL, but you know, Brady was more established. He was on his way to becoming Tom Bleepin' Brady, and he didn't look right until the other side of Thanksgiving the next year back. So, and a lot of that is just really trusting your body and trusting everything around you and being able to fully cut loose and power into your throws and, you know, plant and all that stuff that you don't think about before. You know, you tend to. It's human nature. So I think there'll be a team that probably gets better along the way. I know the schedule early on, it seems like the level of competition or where they catch some teams ratchets up as they go through the season. But I also think they'll probably, I mean, again, as long as he's okay, they'll probably get better as the season goes on. And by the end of the year, I would think that's a very formidable offense. Now, what's the defense look like? That's a different story.
Jason Lockenfora, you've been to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to Cleveland. When you look out at the AFC, who are the teams you think make a jump or don't make a jump, but legitimately challenge the Chiefs for supremacy on that side of things this year?
Well, I think Buffalo and Cleveland would be certainly in that next tier. And then, you know, maybe Baltimore, maybe Tennessee. I might personally have them a half level, you know, a half notch down. Maybe from those other two, but Buffalo's offense, that wasn't a fluke, that wasn't fake, that wasn't a blip, and they should be able to run the ball more. I believe they're going to be able to; they'll be more efficient in the run game. And their defense wasn't the same last year. It didn't bite them too many times because the offense was that good. But I think the offense might regress to the mean a little bit. But I also think this defense, much bigger, more physical. Just a completely different look up front. You know, getting Starlotelele back, the two pass rushers they took at the top of this draft, seeing a kid like Tremaine Edmonds going into year four, Ed Oliver slotted back in a more natural position, not trying to have to kind of force him, you know, to be the one. I'm buying it. I'm buying it. And the most important thing there, too, is they didn't lose any of their coaches, which is very rare. For a team that's on the trajectory that they've been on, you know, getting better and better, you usually get some brain drain along the way. That hasn't happened to them, and that, I think, is huge. And Cleveland, I mean, it's hard not to buy that roster. It's just, I mean, you know, and we'll see about Clowney, and we'll see about a few other things on that defense, but certainly they, like Buffalo, looked at their front and said, we got to fix that. Cleveland looked at their secondary and said, we got to fix that, and we got to, you know, we got to get somebody else in that Olivier Vernon role, and I think Clowney will be just fine there. Obviously, there's always the injury risk, and you know they get Chubb signed on a team friendly deal. Like, it's hard not to buy what that front office and coaching staff are all about, and they actually get to coach their players this year, and be around them in training camp and play preseason games, which, you know, that new staff had none of that last year. So I'm very bullish on those teams.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. Filling in for Jim, another year JLC, another Carson Wentz injury, which is, you know, feel bad for the player. I feel bad for Colts fans. you know, it sucks. It is what it is. If you're a Colts fan, for the next 5 to 12 weeks, what is the best case, most likely scenario at that position?
Well, I don't, 5 weeks I think is pretty ambitious. This is a guy who, it's not like this happened 3 weeks into camp and he's already played a quarter of a preseason game and he's got a good solid base going and he's, you know, had 3 weeks of practice with these guys. That just wasn't the case. So there's just, you know, there's the whole conditioning and ready to play, and I know there's familiarity there with the coach, but it's not exactly who the Eagles were 4 years ago. You know, I get it's Frank Reich and it's similar verbiage and all that, but it's different personnel. They're going to run the ball more and do some different things in the run game. So I don't think, you know, it's just something where he doesn't need any of this stuff and he could have surgery, get cleared to return to practice, and then play a game 3 days later. I don't think that's how this is going to be. So, you know, I think the best case scenario is he's back some point in October and this is behind him and he's on this redemption tour. But again, this is a player who's got a fairly checkered injury history now. So it's difficult. It's difficult to project. Jacob Eason, they're all about him for now. We'll see if they're still all about him a month from now. The guy I like is Gardner Minshew. You know, the Foles thing, I just don't know that that's where they want to be. They had an immobile quarterback last year. You know, they're trying to evolve. They're trying to be able to move the pocket around and do some of the things you see football teams aching to do these days. Minshew can do some of that stuff. So we'll see. There's nothing imminent. There's no talks for now. It's all about evaluating Jacob Eason. But that obviously is a wide-ranging timetable for a return there for Wentz.
Jason, last week, Joe Judge, head coach of the New York Giants, got into it with Kelvin Benjamin. Benjamin was cut. Not that he's some kind of superstar.
Yeah.
This week, Joe Judge got into it with his entire team.
Yeah.
Is this just the way it goes and much ado about nothing, or signs of a problem
with
the head coach?
No, I think there's been, there have been red, you know, maybe not red flag, pink flag, yellow flag, you know. There's been plenty of stuff along the way. I mean, it just seems like there's always something there. You know, their first round pick didn't have cleats that fit him, you know, for mini camp, and you're firing offensive line coaches like 6 games into your NFL career, and you know, there was a lot of thought they might get rid of Jason Garrett. They probably should have got rid of Jason Garrett. They end up keeping Jason Garrett. The quarterback, you know, there's jobs on the line with him. Is do they have the pieces there to really develop him and bring the best out of him? And I don't know, man. It was a strange hire when it happened. You know, they panicked. They were really high on Wink Martindale, and then Belichick gives this ringing endorsement to Joe Judge, and Mississippi State might be hiring Joe Judge, and next thing you know, the search is over, and Joe Judge is coaching the New York Football Giants. And I would just say their recent history in terms of making these kinds of hires and handling those situations has not gone well, and they've done themselves no favors in a lot of ways. So, I mean, they're saying, we should have given McAdoo more time. I mean, good luck. I don't see that team as one that's necessarily close to being on the rise.
If only there were a large sample size of former Patriot coaches getting head coaching jobs in the NFL as just a way to measure the likelihood of success, Jason Lockeford. If only that were a real thing, JLC.
Well, come on. The thing is, it's some of the same mistakes and some of the same
over
sort of warning flag
and
signs
over again.
Just be, like, repeated immediately. Like, not even any sort of ramp up, just like, oh, yeah, I've seen that movie before.
All right, Jason. Hey, dude, great stuff. Appreciate the insight. Enjoy training camp, and thanks for being on, buddy.
You got it, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, dude, you too. Jason Lockenfor on the show. What's the old adage? People who don't study history are cursed to repeat it. That's about history. 90 years ago. Like, okay, I understand maybe American society didn't really track what happened in the 1918 influenza pandemic and the weird ways in which it mirrors what's going on today, right down to mask mandates and these sort of the cultural battle. Not ideal. Not great. But, you know, we're going through our lives. We're raising our kids. We're getting jobs. We're trying to find boyfriends and girlfriends. I get it. We got stuff going on. Can't really study the 1918 influenza pandemic. Maybe we should. Not likely. If you work in the National Football League, all you've had to have done in the last 15 years is be awake and not incredibly stupid to have followed what has happened to every single coach, almost without exception, who has left Bill Belichick's coaching tree and become an NFL head coach. I mean, who's the most successful example of this? I mean, is Bill O'Brien, where I'm supposed to go off the top of my head, is the success story because of what he did at Penn State? They don't compete, at last I checked, in the National Football League. The Giants deserve everything they're going to get. I don't root against the Giants. I don't really care. I'm not hoping that Giants fans have their souls crushed. But when you hire Joe Judge out of a New England Patriots tour, and by the way, we thought that curse thing or whatever it was a little weird with the Patriots back when we thought the Patriots way was a good thing. Now it turns out all these guys maybe were just drafting off Tom Brady. Think about the money that's been given to the Romeo Crennels and the Charlie Weisses and all of these knuckleheads because they just happen to be an assistant coach in New England with the greatest QB of all time. All right. It's crazy. Thank you to Jason for making time here on the show. Chicago Bulls are going to lead a segment on the Jim Rome Show. You know why? They made some moves. They went big. They went bold. Even though history has taught me not to believe, I'm kind of buying on the Chicago Bulls and why it could work next year on the Jim Rome Show.